law, and all that we do. Let us pray. Lord, hear our prayers and come to us, bringing light into the darkness of our hearts. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated now as we listen to the reading from the Scripture.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah, the 35th chapter. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance and terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 146 responsively. Happy are they who have the God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God.
Who made heaven and earth, the seas and all that is in them, who keeps his promise forever.
Who gives justice to those who are oppressed and food to those who hunger.
The Lord who has
The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord cares for the stranger. He sustains the orphan and the widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked.
The Lord shall reign forever. Your God will guide throughout all generations. Hallelujah.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was, is, and now, and will be forever. A reading from the letter of James, the 5th chapter. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See? The judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 11th chapter. When John was in
When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, a prophet, and one who is more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord. When you're driving down the highway and you see one of those signs that say, "Go this way for the scenic route," do you ever take that path, the scenic route? Do you ever pull over where you see the sign that says, "Scenic overlook"? I sometimes pull over on those scenic overlooks just to see what somebody else thinks that I should stop and look at. See what they think is beautiful. Maybe it's an unobstructed view of the ocean with the waves crashing against the shore. Or maybe it's a beautiful canyon, whatever that overlook might be. It's someone's idea that we should stop and take a breath and take in this moment of beauty. The third Sunday of Advent is kind of like a scenic overlook for us. We stop and take a little rest in our Advent preparation, taking a look at the good things that are to come. Now I have a question for you. When the bowls came up and lit the Advent candles, how many of you thought that Annika made a mistake lighting the pink candle today? Be honest. Some people, yeah, okay, good. You'd blow my sermon if no one said yes. The pink candle is the candle that is lit on the third Sunday of Advent. This is the correct candle to light today because in the medieval church, this Sunday, the third Sunday of Advent, was called Rejoice Sunday. Our scriptures tell us, pull over. This is a scenic overlook. Take a break. Not Christmas yet. There's still one candle unlit on our Advent wreath. But this is an opportunity to take a breather, to pay attention to what we're doing in this quick run, this headlong dive into Christmas. We take a breath. And the scriptures are filled with the beauty of what it will look like in the kingdom when the Messiah has come. The prophet Isaiah says, "When the Messiah comes, the desert shall rejoice and blossom." Don and I like to take little day trips when we have a day off. And one of the fun times that we've had was taking a trip around and looking at some of the California missions. And we were at one mission, it must have been one near San Diego, where they had many photos of what San Diego and this area looked like before it was settled. And I was amazed at the barrenness and the dry land and the lack of vegetation other than scrub grass, or what do you call that? Yeah, that's it. Stubble. that was all over. You know, somebody had a vision and looked at this land and said, this could be a garden. This land with patience and lots of water, with irrigation and drainage ditches and water systems, this land could blossom. And it has. What a beautiful place we have to live. But it took a vision, knowing that something good could come when you add water and patience. When the Messiah comes, the desert shall rejoice and bloom. About 1,000 years ago, in Palestine, in the Holy Land, the people cut down all of their trees. And they had a good reason. The Turks were in power. And the Turkish law had a way of gaining tax money by saying that every tree had to have a tax paid on it. So in order to get out from underneath that burden of that of the tax, people cut down all of their trees. That changed the climate of the land. And the climate change made a great reversal. That land that was once flowing with milk and honey, the land of cypress and pine and cedar and myrtle and sycamore trees, was now a desert. Nothing growing, because there were no trees to provide the needed moisture in the air, and it became a desert. About 50 or 60 years ago, someone with a vision said, we can again make this land a garden. We can make this desert bloom. And trees were planted, and slowly that land is turning back into a lush place, a garden, a blooming desert. With patience and hope, the desert will bloom again. The prophet Isaiah says, when the Messiah comes, the desert shall rejoice and bloom. One more example. You probably have heard about the deserts in Africa. There's a part of the land that's called the Sahel, and that's the border of the desert that separates the desert from the savanna. And this Sahel is now experiencing great erosion. What's happening? The people have allowed their animals, their cattle, to graze on this land, and all of the vegetation is being eaten away. What trees were there, the people have needed to use for fuel. So they've cut down the trees and cut down the bushes, and that very thin topsoil of the Sahel has blown away. And that division, that border of the desert, is getting smaller and smaller. Every year, miles of land are eaten up, becoming desert. The Sahara Desert and the Sahel Desert are getting closer and closer together. And what's happening with that is that we lose land that could produce crops, land that could produce vegetation for food, is now turning into desert. And as starvation grows, that desert is getting bigger and bigger. But there are people with hope who are seeing that and saying something can happen here. Trees are being planted by the thousands, and slowly, with hope and patience and water, those trees will hold the topsoil down. Those trees will produce the needed environmental air that can help crops to grow once again. When the Messiah comes, the desert will rejoice and blossom. The prophet Isaiah writes a beautiful description of the desert in bloom. These are hopeful words. Imagine this people whose lives had become like a desert. Maybe you know what that's like too. Maybe you know what desert life means. Dried, burned out, blowing sand, not much sense of hope. That was the people of Israel for whom Isaiah was writing. Have hope. The Messiah is coming. Everything will be different when the Messiah comes. There will be a great reversal. The dry will be made wet. The springs will burst forth in the land that is now a desert. The high mountains and the rocky ways will be made smooth. The mountains will be lowered. And everything will be different when the Messiah comes. When the Messiah comes, the desert shall rejoice and blossom. Sometimes our lives can be like a desert. Like when someone you love has died, and that hole in your heart refuses to mend. Or when, after years of marriage, a husband and wife slowly let their love die, and the marriage becomes like a desert. Or you have a serious illness. Living with cancer or disease can make life seem like a desert. Or you receive devastating news, the loss of a job, or news that one of your children or grandchildren has experienced a major setback. It happens, and your life can feel like a desert, burned out, dried up, not much hope. Or it's Christmas time, and the whole world is ready to celebrate, ready to party, ready to celebrate this great season. The whole world is ready for Christmas and for Christmas joy, except for you. You don't feel too joyous, too happy. The world is celebrating, but you don't feel like it. You know, counselors and psychiatrists tell us that their busiest time of the year is the holidays, because more people have a need, because during this season we look around and everyone's supposed to be happy, and I'm not, so I feel depressed. Or you look around and other people seem to have it all together and you don't. You feel out of sorts. You feel like you're a desert. Dried up, sandy wind blowing, not much hope of anything blossoming or bringing life. Every one of us can expect to have a time in our life when we're walking that desert path. Life can be like that, when God seems to be absent, when a marriage is dead, when a spouse has died, when the body only aches, when there isn't any energy to move ahead, when you don't seem to have any good ideas or anything new, I think it would be safe to say that in all of our lives, there are times or places when we feel like a desert, when something's missing, when there is no joy or beauty in our lives. But when the Messiah comes, says Isaiah, the desert shall blossom and rejoice. The New Testament gives us good news that the Messiah has come. Now, when Jesus came, he met a lot of people whose lives were like deserts. And he made them bloom again. Blind received sight, lame walked, deaf heard, dead were raised to life, and the poor had the good news brought to them. The deserts became places of blooming life again. This is good news for you too. This is good news for us on the third Sunday of Advent, that the places in our lives that are like deserts can bloom again. God is giving us that promise. God is the dreamer who looks at us and says, that desert life can blossom. That place of despair or sadness, that place of sorrow or pain can blossom and bloom again. God looks at us with hope and knows that there is promise of new life, of a reversal for each of us as well. When Jesus enters lives, deserts become gardens. Jesus can change the deserts of our lives into places, gardens, lush, beautiful places. And how do you make a desert bloom? You need water. It's only with water that life can be found. You have to have water to make a desert bloom and rejoice. Jesus says, those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will spring up. It will be like water gushing up into eternal life. To have that kind of water in your life, to have that kind of spirit in your life, is to have the spirit of Jesus, to be like that, to have that spirit of forgiveness and understanding and kindness and patience. It means to have hope in the promise that the deserts will bloom again. It means to have patience and to trust God. It doesn't mean that the deserts are going to go away. It means that we have hope that the deserts can go away. It means to have hope and trust that the desert places in our lives can again bloom and blossom. As baptized Christians, as people who have been drenched in that water, who have been doused and dunked into that, we have that new life of Jesus Christ gushing up inside of us. We are foggy people. We should not have desert spots in our lives when we are in touch with that water of Jesus Christ that flows in our lives. We who have been washed in the waters of baptism, who have been drenched in the love and graciousness of God, we have the hope that our desert places will again bloom and rejoice. St. James wrote, letter of encouragement and words of hope for the people, those folks who were waiting for their deserts to blossom. These are words of hope for us. Be patient, James says. Strengthen your heart. Do not grumble against one another. Aren't these good Advent words? How many of us need to hear this on this third Sunday of Advent? If you're like me, you probably need to hear these words every day of Advent. Be patient. strengthen your heart. And don't grumble. Don't grumble against one another. Good words of Advent hope for us. And while we wait for the Lord, we drink deeply of that water, that living water of Jesus Christ. We follow Jesus, and we let his actions, or our actions, echo his actions. And what did Jesus do that we can follow his example? Blind receive their sight. Lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. Deaf hear. Dead are raised. And the poor have the good news brought to them. Let our lives echo those actions of Jesus. When the Messiah comes, the desert shall rejoice and blossom. Amen. Thank you.